The scripture reading this morning will be from the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. If you're following along with one of the Bibles under the bench, it can be found on page 550, Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil.
Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. Happy that you're here. We have visitors with us today. It is always a special delight to have visitors come and worship with us, fellowship with us. It's good to see you. Give us a chance, an opportunity to get to know you better before you leave here today. So I want to begin by thanking some folks for, I've been out of pocket for just a little while. I know that Mike filled in for me. With regards to my lesson last Sunday. I know he did a wonderful job. Been a lot of transition going on here. A lot of moving about. The preacher has moved to the basement. And so with that being the case, there's been a lot of little elves helping with that move. And I appreciate folks helping with that, moving the library. It's not just moving into another room. It's moving my office down to the library and the library up here. So there's been a lot going on. But I think that project is pretty much almost done. But I appreciate everybody's involvement with that. So getting to where I was last week. Most of you know. I was headed down to Arkansas to take Trey, our oldest son, back to college at Harding University. And if you happen to see the front that was moving in, that spanned about 2.5 states wide and about 10 states long. We drove through about 8 of that diagram, 9 straight hours. In the pouring down rain. I think I even heard Elvis singing Kentucky Rain, Archie, as I was driving through Kentucky. It was pouring until we got into Arkansas and the sun was shining and it was almost as if God said, you're home. So it was beautiful. But I got to share something with you. Still not familiar with that route. There's about 100 different ways you can get to Searcy, Arkansas. And if you've been there before, you know what I'm talking about. So we had gone a way that I wasn't familiar with, again, and was doing great, seriously. Everything was going great. You know, we were no problems. There were problems with others who were hydroplaning and wrecking like crazy. But about 7 o'clock, it's getting dark. It is dark. And not familiar with this particular highway. And Kathy informed me that BB Caps Highway is 2 miles away. That's what the GPS is showing. And it's showing you want to go left. Okay, and I think we're on route 64. So as I'm cruising along, I have a point to the story. Bear with me. As I'm cruising along, all of a sudden she gets text happy with Trey. So she's texting with Trey, and I knew I had gone almost 2 miles, and I said, where's my turn? It says here you're getting close. Okay, what does that mean? Well, you turn up here somewhere real close, and she's busy texting, so I end up in the middle lane thinking, well, there's a highway. I see BB Caps Highway, and I'm in the middle lane. Do you ever get that feeling, I shouldn't be here? That It doesn't feel good. And I'm getting ready to make a left turn going up a ramp where cars are coming down. Okay, that doesn't work out well, folks. And for a moment before I made my left turn to go up the ramp the wrong way, Dan, I looked at her and I said, I need specific directions. It says turn left at 900 feet. Okay. So I got out of the middle lane and went up 900 feet, and lo and behold, guess what? There was my highway. But that could have been disastrous. Now, folks, here's the reason I'm sharing all this with you. I want you to understand something. God has given us detailed directions on how to be pleasing to Him. Listen to me. God has given us detailed directions on how to be pleasing to Him. We see this in the creation model. You know, the very first thing, and I know you'll be tempted when we talk about the creation model, if I were to ask you what is the very first thing that we see. Well, some may say, well, the first thing that we see is the first day. And we see God separating light from darkness. That's the first thing that we see. And we see God, you know, as far as the details, they're there. But that's what we see is the first day. Don't forget the obvious. The first thing we see is God. It's God. God is the first being, the first thing we see. We see a designer, an intelligent designer, a creator. And in all this creation model that exists with the 6 days that God has created everything, separating the water from the sky on the second day, giving us vegetation and giving us the sea, separating the sea from the dry land on that third day. The celestial bodies and the stars, the moon, the planets there on that fourth day. That fifth day, God creates the sea creatures and the birds. And on that sixth day, after creating the land animals, the vegetation, God creates His masterpiece. He creates man, and then God rests. But I want you to know that God was very detailed oriented. God was very specific in what He did. And with that being the case, I want you to understand that God has given us detailed directions as we continue to look at the book of Genesis. And I want us to specifically look at three areas this morning, and this lesson is yours, where God specifically gives us details for our lives. Folks, the first is in our manner of life. When we go back and we look at the model that God has given man and begin to see what is going on here in the book of Genesis, we see the pieces coming together on day six. God indeed creates that masterpiece. He creates man in His very image. And I want you to think about that for a moment. When God creates man, He puts that personal touch in man, His own DNA in man. You see, God is a spirit. And man is made in the image of God in John chapter 4, verse 24. In what way? Well, mentally. Humanity was created as a rational agent. Human beings can reason, they can choose. Morally, humanity was created in a righteous manner, perfect innocence. It is a reflection of God. And socially, humanity was created for fellowship. God put Himself in the man. He's truly unique. He's truly unique. Made in God's very own image. Now let's look at the marching orders God gave to man. He didn't just simply create man and say, now go have a good time. Go live however you want to live. Figure it out. That's not the model that we see. God gives man specific directions and instructions. In chapter 1, in verses 26, he says, let man have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You see what God is doing? He's made man. What does he begin doing? Giving him instructions. You see it? God is giving man details on what he is to do. He's giving man instructions. This is what I want you to do. Next, we see in verse 28, God blessed them, that is man and woman, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. More instructions, be fruitful. Multiply. That's God's plan. God then goes on and he explains the food source unto man. This is what we see. We see Adam and Eve in that garden, that paradise on earth. In Genesis in chapter 2 and verses 15 and following, the Lord God, he took man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it, to keep it. More instructions. Take care of the garden. Guard it. Care for it. Of every tree of the garden, he commanded him, you may freely eat. More instructions. But there's one tree. Tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. There's one prohibition. There's one prohibition, but more instructions. It's not as if God didn't tell Adam and Eve what to do and not what to do, and just like, oh, gotcha, it's a trap. I sprung a trap on you. Do you see the instructions that God is giving them? This is the way you're to live your life. This is what you're to do. Friends, we need to understand that God has given us details on how to live our lives. In much the same way God has revealed, God revealed to Adam and Eve how they were to live their life and be pleasing unto God, he has done the same for us. And how do we know this? Because, friends, we see it in his word. When you go back and you begin to read in 2 Peter in chapter 1 and begin in verse 2, that God has been graceful in his knowledge unto us. And all things pertaining to life and godliness comes through the knowledge of him. Someone tried to argue with me not long ago. We can't know everything about what's pleasing to God. And I quoted that passage to him, Don. Now, what do you do with that? You believe it. You humbly embrace it and you accept it. And the person replied, well, I guess you're right. Well, no, God's word's right. Do you believe it? You know, Paul gives us some details in Ephesians in chapter 4. And if you're looking closely, as he's writing this letter to these saints over in Ephesians, look in verse 20. He says, but you have not so learned at Christ. This is not what you've learned from Christ. Well, what did we learn from Christ? Are you learning anything from Christ? I hope you are. I hope you answered yes to that question. If indeed you have heard of him, you've been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off the concerning your former conduct, that old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on that new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. God wants you to be righteous. God wants you to be holy. When did that happen? Obviously, when we were baptized into Christ. Our sins were washed away. Is that the end of it? It's not, is it? He goes on, look carefully at what Paul does. Pay attention. He talks about how you are to live your life. Put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give a place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but let him labor, working with his hands. What is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. You know, what a wonderful model. What a concept. Working to be benevolent. That's what he's saying. You're receiving from the fruits of your labor, but you're also giving. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to its hearers. You speak words that are pure, wholesome, godly, and they're encouraging. Do you look for ways to encourage others? To build others up? I've got a sign down in my office that says, no one is listening until you make a mistake. We should be in the building up business, church. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. He says this is the way you're to live your lives. You want a good, what am I to do, model? It's right here. It's right here. So God has given Adam and Eve instructions on how to serve him, how to live their lives, how to be pleasing to him. He's done the same thing with us. But there's another model that God gave us with regards to detailed instructions. Our marriage. You see, when God saw that everything was good, there was one thing that wasn't good. Man was all alone. And we go back and we look in Genesis in chapter 2, and we see God's solution for this issue, for this problem. I'm going to begin actually in verse 21. It says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. He slept. He took one of his ribs. He closed up his flesh in its place. The rib which the Lord had taken out of man, he made into woman. And he brought her to man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Four keys that you see in that model of marriage. You see severance, leave. You see permanence, cleave. You see unity, one flesh. And you see intimacy. They were naked, and they were not afraid or ashamed. You know, we hear so many things today about how to be successful. How to be successful. And you hear marriage counselors today talk about how to have, and people write books about it all the time, how to have a successful marriage. Kind of an ambiguous statement. What do we mean by that? How to have a successful marriage. Friends, if we have a marriage that is pleasing unto God, a marriage where we're in love and we're serving one another and we're reflecting what God wants us to share and show with the world. That's successful. I fear today that marriage is frowned on. Not a lot of folks are getting married today. Did you know that? We're cohabitating today. I don't know, we're afraid of commitment, but that model has been broken of marriage. Some individuals think that if I enter into a marriage, it's a Gabby marriage. What's a Gabby marriage? What are you talking about, a Gabby marriage? Grin and bear it. Just grin and bear it. I want you to understand, folks, that God doesn't put you in a Gabby marriage. He wants you to be happy. God has given you the specific details on how to have a happy marriage in Ephesians in chapter 5 and verses 22 through 31. Look carefully at that. God gives you, Paul gives you the instructions. The Holy Spirit provides for us the instructions on how to have a happy marriage. And it can be summed up like this. Ladies, love your husband like you love the Lord. Look at verse 22. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. There it is. That's it. Now that's it in a nutshell. Ladies, love your husbands like you love the Lord. And don't say you don't, because you sit there and you say it and you sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. You know, so love your husbands like you love the Lord. Husbands, love your wives like the Lord loves the church. It's there. That's it. That's it. Finally, God has given us detailed directions regarding our meaningful worship. A very dark moment in Genesis occurs right before I actually get to Genesis chapter 6, where it's like mankind gone wild in Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 4, Adam knew his wife Eve. They began to procreate. Cain is the first child that is born. Eve conceived again, and Abel was born. We learn in the process of time, when the time was right, as God determined, these sons were to bring their offerings unto God. Now, what are they doing? They're worshiping Dawn. They have a relationship with God. They're worshiping God. Abel brings his offering unto God. He brings the first of his flock and the fat thereof, the very best. Folks, God deserves nothing but our best. Did you know that? That's a model right there. The first and the best. But what do we see with Cain? A tiller of the ground, a farmer. He just brings an offering. He just brings something. Take it or leave it, this is what I'm bringing. Or maybe, you know, God, you'll be happy with this. You know how I know, God, you'll be happy with this? Because I'm happy with this. I want you to understand something. When you go back and you begin to read in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, in verse 4, why was it, how was it that God accepted, God embraced Abel's offering, but he didn't embrace Cain's? The hall of faith is in Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we learn that Abel offered his offering unto God based upon what? Faith. Faith. His offering was brought to God through faith, Dale. How does faith come? Romans 10:17. Faith comes through listening to God. What am I saying to you? I am telling you that these young men knew not only where, when, and how to worship God. They knew. Because God told them. And you only had one who followed through with what God told them, and you had another that just said, I'm going to do what I want. Now, is there a lesson for us today in that? You better believe there is. Meaningful worship is not contingent or based, Archie, upon what I dictate as being meaningful. Meaningful is based upon what God dictates and determines as being meaningful, Dale. And when I speak with folks today with regards to New Testament worship as we see it in the scriptures, in John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus tells us that God is a spirit, and those who worship God are to worship him in spirit and in truth. Brethren, he has not left it to our own devices and devise on how we want to worship God. Just as we see with this model with Cain and Abel, God has given us a model of worship. God has given us a model of worship. The details are there. Open up your Bible. We're getting ready at some point, as we're studying church history on Wednesday nights. And one of the things that I want you to keep your eye open for as we begin to look at Roman Catholicism and the Roman Catholic Church coming into existence, eventually you're going to begin to see a split even within the Roman Catholic Church. And one of the things, one of the reasons, the contentions, why there was a split is because the Greek Orthodox Church, originally held to the line, there will be no instruments in worship when we worship God. Now, that's a Paul Harvey moment for you right there. And now for the rest of the story. I think that the Greek Orthodox Church knows something about the Greek. But you see, we've lost touch with history. And when we lose touch with history, we're doomed and destined to repeat the failures and our mistakes of the past. And that is why in that Wednesday night class, and I love it so much, one of the questions I'll oftentimes ask, how do we know this? And someone will say, because God's word says so. And that's the perfect answer. We've got to keep coming back to, what does God's word say? I'm here to tell you, it's all covered right here in this model. Don't just tell me, in general, and give me ambiguous directions. That'll get me killed. Turn left, okay. When? 900 feet. Oh, I'm not in the wrong lane anymore. I'm in the correct lane. I'm where I need to be. I'm where I ought to be, Dan. And I'm trying to tell you specifically with regards to how to live your life, how to have a loving, happy relationship with your wife and your marriage and your family. And how to have meaningful worship that God is pleased with. It's all right here. God has given you the details. He's given you the details. God has given us the details on how to be saved. It's not ambiguous. It's not as the game Wheel of Fortune. Spin the wheel and just take one. You want to just confess? Okay, you're good. Go home. You're saved. Spin the wheel. Land it on repentance. Go ahead, just repent. You're good. Go on, go home. God has been very specific with us on how we can have our sins remitted and have a relationship with God. You've heard the word, friend. Do you believe it? If you do, you'll practice it. You'll do what God tells you to do. You indeed will repent of your sins. You will confess Christ as your Lord and your Savior, just as that Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8. And as he went down into the water and was baptized and had his sins washed away, you must do the same. Not that we prefer you do the same. You must do the same. Must do the same. You know, Apostle Paul was told that. When Ananias went to him, all things that he must do, and that's the way it's worded, I will tell you. And he was baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of his sins. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. He washed away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Friend, I want to encourage you this morning. If you've not been baptized into Christ, you make a decision right now, today.